Episode number 39 of The Champion, the final episode, is brought to you by The Great Courses. We've talked a lot about The Great Courses over the past year. I've just started watching another one of their courses, How Ideas Spread. This is a concept that's always fascinating to me, the concept of memes, the concept of information transfer, the concept of cultural transmission of ideas. This course is taught by Professor Jonah Berger of the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. He's an expert on social dynamics. The course explores some ideas, why products, concepts, and other things catch on, why they become popular, and why others do not. Berger provides case studies that delve into the sociological and psychological factors that lead to certain products and ideas, quote, going viral, end quote. Why does Apple stuff catch on so well? Why does everyone talk about my books nonstop in their sleep and to their spouses? Oh, you know it happens. You know it does. The Great Courses is celebrating their 25th anniversary. They've got courses in over 500 topics in a variety of formats, including online downloads and streaming via their apps or on DVDs and CDs. You can watch them on your DVD player, on your PlayStation. You can watch them from your cell phone or your tablet. It's awesome. And yes, you can watch them on your computer and you can just listen to the audio, whatever you need. They have created a special offer just for you, my podcast listeners. No. Not just How Ideas Spread, but seven other courses total. Of 8 courses at up to 80% off the original price. They're about $40 or under a piece. You cannot beat this deal. It is a limited time offer, so you need to order now. So go to thegreatcourses.com/Sigler. That's thegreatcourses.com/Sigler. Take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes, go take a peek. There might be something that you would find utterly fascinating. So go to thegreatcourses.com/Sigler, and now on with our story. Welcome to The Champion, book 5 in the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by author Scott Sigler, The Champion is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel, along with the first 4 books in the GFL series, is available as a full-length, unabridged, digital audiobook download from Audible, iTunes, and Amazon. As an ebook for Kindle, iPhone, iPad, Android, or any EPUB compatible device, and in paperback. The Champion is also available as a signed, numbered, limited edition hardcover while supplies last. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/store. Welcome to the final episode of The Champion. Yes, there is one more episode after this, but it is question and answer only. No story. So your novel, The Champion, will finish up with this very episode. If you want to get in on that Q&A episode, email your question to info@emptyset.com, or use that same address to email an MP3, or just call in the U.S., 206-666-4673, and leave a message that we'll probably use on next week's episode. Yes, you can hear your own shiny voice, and you can hear me respond to it. After this, the final episode of The Champion, I will have a brief sneak peek of the Alive audiobook that The Iceberg, our audio engineer, has prepared for us. Alive starts Sunday, June 21st. That will be the active podcast. You will get to hear 4 episodes of Live before the book even comes out on July 14th. But if you have not yet pre-ordered your hardcover of Alive, that is the single best way to help this show continue to be a show that tickles your ear canals every Sunday and at other times during the week. Go to scottsigler.com/alive. We've got links for Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We've got links where you can get autographed copies. Go pre-order a hardcover of Alive. And if you're an ebook reader, that's great. If you're an audiobook reader, that's great too. Those will be available. But the biggest thing that helps us out, hands down, pre-order hardcover. It's like $13-$14 at Amazon. It ain't nothing. Go get some. We do have a second advertiser this week. I'm going to talk about them. Then I'm going to get you caught up on the story so far. And then we will close out book 5 of the GFL. Our second advertiser this week is none other than ShipStation.com. Lots of people are selling online. Why? Because it's a great way to get into business for yourself. But it's not easy, not at all. You have to take in all these orders that are coming from places like eBay, Etsy, Amazon, other vendors. You have to consolidate them all. You have to get all those orders out the door. That all takes time, and time is money. With ShipStation.com, you'll ship out more stuff in less time and save money because they give you rates that you can't get anywhere else. ShipStation brings all your orders into that one little app on your computer, makes it easy to manage, and you ship them out fast with UPS, FedEx, USPS, all the top carriers, whatever you want. That's why ShipStation.com is the number one choice of online sellers. We are using it here at Empty Set Entertainment. We love it. Honestly, I'm not sure how we ran a business without it, because now if they took it out, it would be like kicking our crutches out from under us. Not that we're on crutches. There's a metaphor in there somewhere, and I'm sure you know what it is, so just go with it. And to make it easy to take that metaphor, here's a special offer for your faces. Try ShipStation.com free for 30 days. Oh, wait! You get an additional month free only if you use my last name, Sigler. That is 60 days free of this service to see if it works well for your business. So go to ShipStation.com, click on the podcast button at the top of the homepage, and type in Sigler. That is ShipStation.com! And enter S-I-G-L-E-R. Previously on The Champion. At the end of last episode, Quentin blocked as Becca Montaigne ran behind him, then over him for the go-ahead touchdown. With less than a minute to play in the Galaxy Bowl, the Krakens cling to a slim lead, but it's not over. Not as long as Don Pine has the ball in his hands. Can Ionath hold off the Jupiter Jacks and repeat as GFL champs? Find out next on the final episode of The Champion.
Shit, I can't believe it!
What a play by Barnes, Massara. He blocks the defensive end like some martial arts master, gets his helmet ripped off as he then moves just enough to slow down Catan the Beheader, and takes a helmet in the face for his troubles. A bad block on Catan, but it made just enough room for Becca the Recca to bury her head in Barnes's back and plow forward for the score.
And chick, look at this replay. Montaigne would have been down short of the goal line if her last step hadn't landed right on the back of Barnes' head. The officials are reviewing the play, but we can see on our monitors that her knee did not touch the ground before the ball crossed the line.
That's 6 points for sure, Massara. The official is signaling now. Yes, yes, touchdown, Ionath! And a 15-yard face mask penalty on Tony Jones to be assessed on the kickoff. Oh my! They're helping Barnes off the field as the extra point team comes on. My goodness, Massara. I didn't know one human could bleed that much. They're setting up for the extra point, and it's good! Ionath 14, Jupiter 10, 3 minutes to play in the game.
And the stage is set, chick. If you wanted drama, sports fans, drama you got. My fur is standing on end. This stadium is shaking. Don Pine has been a fourth quarter king in these playoffs. Can he rally his Jacks for a final touchdown? Can Don Pine do it one more time?
A 4-point lead. 58 seconds to play. Jack's ball, second down, 8 yards to go on the Kraken's 45-yard line. Both teams had used all of their timeouts, and Jupiter needed a touchdown to win. Ionath was close, so close. Quentin stood on the sidelines. Doc Bata hovered at his side, trying to patch the various cuts on his face and head. He could still move his right arm, somewhat, but Doc had already informed him that, yes, the clavicle had cracked. It hurt. Everything hurt. But it was all worth it. Even Becca stepping on his head. He didn't know if that had given him another concussion or if the hit from Catan had, and he didn't care. He would worry about that later. 58 seconds from a win. The Ionath defense looked exhausted. John and Pishore had played every defensive down in the second half. Sam Darkeye had played most of them, coming out only when the Krakens were in a nickel package. He, too, had reached his limit. Mumo's middle right arm hung limp. Ibrahim Komini had done something to his right leg and could barely walk, but he refused to come out of the game. It would all come down to these last few seconds. all come down to which team wanted it more. Don Pine broke the Jack's huddle. His metallic jersey hung from his armor, ripped in several places, the dirt-smeared left shoulder plate showing clear through. Quentin wanted to beat Pine again, wanted it more than anything he had ever wanted before, but he had to give respect where respect was due. The old man wanted it just as bad. The Jacks lined up with C.J. Wellman as the single back. New Delhi wind up wide right, Beaver Dam wide left. Pine bent behind center. The home crowd quieted for their hero, just enough for his commanding bark to be heard up and down the line. Quentin saw Pine stand, shout something to his left, then to his right. He saw running back C.J. Wellman take two steps to the right and one step forward, so he was flanking Pine's right shoulder. Peashore the Fang adjusted, moving slightly to his left, so he still had an outside shade on Wellman. Pine took the snap, dropped back five steps, and planted. Mumo drove in hard. John, Sam, and Peashore dropped into coverage. Komeni tried to spin inside the left tackle, but Pine shuffled to his left, out of the way, then stepped up and threw. It hit Beaver Dam on a comeback route 15 yards downfield. Bumberpuff was right on top of her, bringing Beaver Dam down before she could get out of bounds. First down on the INF 30-yard line, but the clock kept ticking. Pine ran forward, urging his teammates to the line. The Kraken's defenders scrambled into place, pushing their drained bodies to give them just one more play, just one last effort. Quentin thought Pine might spike the ball, but the veteran called the play at the line. He took the snap and dropped back again. John Tweedy drove in on a blitz. Wellman threw his shoulder into John to slow him down, then ran through the line to curl up in the spot John had vacated. John threw himself at Pine, who backpedaled and threw a weak, high pass to Wellman. The ball hung in the air. Peashore closed on Wellman from the left, Sam Darkeye from the right. The crowd saw the pending collision, swelled with a growing roar of anticipation. The running back pulled down the ball and hit the ground just as Peashore and Darkeye arrived. The linebackers missed landing devastating hits on Wellman, but they didn't miss each other. The crack of their helmets crashing together echoed through the packed stadium. Both linebackers fell to the ground. Peashore completely motionless and Darkeye rolling slightly. Neither of them got up. Whistles blew. Officials time out. The clock stopped. Quentin stared at his two teammates, feeling his heart sink. 38 seconds to play. The Jacks on INF's 23, and the Krakens were down to just one linebacker. Doc Patah flew out onto the field, the med sled right behind him. Quentin saw the Jacks huddling up. They were excited, energized. They knew they still had a chance.
Q!
He heard his name shouted. He looked down the sidelines, but all eyes were fixed on the field.
Q!
He looked the other way. Who was yelling his name? Becca appeared at his side.
Q, John's calling you.
Quentin looked out onto the field. There was John, waving madly at him.
Come on, Q, get in here.
Quentin ran onto the field before he gave it a second thought, pulling his helmet onto his swollen, bloody head. John needed him. That was all that mattered. Halfway out, it registered on Quentin's thoughts that John played defense.
Why the hell does he want me out here now?
Quentin reached the huddle. John grabbed Quentin's face mask, yanked him in close.
Ow, John, my collarbone is broken.
Never mind your collarbone and eat your broccoli,
John said, letting go of Quentin's face mask.
You ready to be a real man and play some defense?
I can't play defense. Get somebody else.
No one else is left. I need size and I need speed and you got both. Just do exactly what I tell you to do, okay?
For the first time in Quentin's football career, he felt panic sweeping over him. He knew everything there was to know about the offense, but defense? He had never played a down of it. There had to be someone left.
John, look, you can't...
Whistles blew. Quentin saw the med sled carrying Peashore off the field. Saw Darkeye face up on the back of Shunan Juan, who was acting like a living med sled.
carrying the injured linebacker to the sidelines.
Q, it's too late. I need you.
The Jacks broke the huddle and spread out, lined up. John was making a terrible mistake, but there wasn't time to do anything about it. No timeouts. Quentin had to play along.
What do you want me to do?
John pointed at Don Pine.
You see him?
Quentin nodded.
Go after him as fast as you can,
John said.
If someone gets in your way, knock them over. You blitz, Quentin. You think you can handle that?
Quentin nodded again, feeling foolish, feeling like he had to do right by John, that he'd do anything not to let John down.
Good,
John said. He slapped Quentin's helmet.
Go make a beautiful mess of things. I'll handle the rest.
The Jacks got into position. John screamed something at his fellow defenders. Quentin didn't understand John's call, didn't know the defensive signals. The place where Quentin felt most at home in the entire galaxy now seemed like an alien world. Where was he supposed to stand? Should he blitz on the snap or wait a second? Did he have to make sure it wasn't a run?
John said, go after Pine as fast as you can. Just do that.
Pine bent behind center. Quentin didn't know where he was supposed to line up, so he ran to the left, stood just outside the shoulder of Alexander Michnik. Pine started calling the signals, turning his head as he did, and stopped cold when he saw Quentin. It threw Pine off. The quarterback gave his head a quick shake, then started the count over.
Just make a mess of things. Just make a mess of things.
Hot, hot!
The lines crashed into each other. Quentin stood there for half a second, forgetting to run. Michnik powered in, giant arms flailing against the Jacks' offensive tackle.
Blitz, blitz, blitz!
Quentin sprinted in. He came around the battling Michnik and lowered his right shoulder, angling toward Pine. Pine had dropped back five steps and planted, was bouncing lightly in place, looking downfield. Quentin closed in. Then C.J. Wellman drifted into his path. The wide running back came forward, snarling, ruined metallic jersey glinting in the stadium lights. Quentin suddenly forgot he was playing defense, forgot everything. He had to get to a particular spot on the field, someone was in his way, and this was just football. Wellman's elbows went wide, his hands came up to stop Quentin's momentum. Quentin leaned forward, making Wellman do the same. Then Quentin planted and spun. The same move he'd done 1,000 times while carrying the ball worked just as well when he didn't have it at all. He hit Wellman, but was already turning, whirling, and then he was passed. And Don Pine was right there, looking the other way. Quentin took 2 steps forward and drove his left shoulder into Pine's ribs, feeling the effortless power of a perfect hit. Quentin was distantly aware of his body screaming in complaint as he kept driving, his left arm wrapping around Pine, wrapping and lifting. Quentin took 2 full steps, then he brought Pine down, slammed him into the ground. They hit so hard, Quentin bounced off the older man. Somehow, Quentin wound up on his feet. His eyes squeezed shut, his head and right shoulder and left arm all fighting to drag him down into gibbering madness. He heard the crowd roaring. Quentin blinked, looked around. A few linemen were still there, lying on the ground or slowly getting up, but most everyone was missing. He turned, looked back downfield, and saw why. 50 yards away, John Tweedy had the ball. He ran along in a pack of Krakens. Mumo, Bumberpuff, and Wahiwa were all blocking 2 Jacks receivers that ran with them, trying to get to John. John passed the 15, the 10, the 5. He crossed the goal line standing up. Touchdown, INF. It was over. Quentin stumbled, caught himself. He looked down again. Pine hadn't moved. He was unconscious. Quentin's legs gave out. He fell more than sat, wound up almost cross-legged, except for his left foot, which stuck out awkwardly. If his collarbone had been cracked before, now it was definitely broken, maybe in more than one place. His head swirled and pounded, drowning out all that went on around him. The left arm had rocketed past 8 out of 10 pain on its way to a solid 11. He saw movement from the INATH sidelines. The med sled coming for him, Doc Bataugh fluttering along beside it, his orange and black backpack catching the stadium lights. Quentin slowly turned to look at the other sideline. Sure enough, the Jack's med sled was on its way as well, a hurrah wearing a gold, silver, and copper backpack close behind. Quentin had a sense of the universe spinning, expanding. Then he was on his back, staring up at the night sky, at the stars and ships far beyond the city dome. Those stars seemed to slowly blink out, one by one. Points of light faded, then vanished as the sky turned black, until just one star remained.
"For you, Coach," he said,
and then that star, too, winked out. Epilogue.
Brad, it's a sight to behold down here in the green grass of Rolling Rock Stadium. We're awash in orange and black confetti. There are more guards and football players down here, and some of the Krakens are up on the podium getting ready for the trophy presentation.
Tom, I have to say it's good to see you back reporting again, and under more joyous circumstances this time.
Yes, Brad, this is far better than being shot at. And there's so much security down here, it would take a nuke to get at any of these players. It's all sports for me from now on. Brad, it looks like, yes, there's Greedock the Splithead on the podium with the Commissioner Rob Frost and other league officials. And yes, with them is Rebecca Montaigne.
Tom, does this mean that Montaigne is the MVP of the game?
Well, Brad, it certainly seems that way. She threw for one touchdown and ran for another and had no turnovers. And besides, quarterbacks almost always win that thing. However, Brad, it might be well-deserved. If anyone had said the Krakens would win this without league MVP Quentin Barnes under center, no one would have believed them.
Truly the stuff of dreams, Tom.
It is, Brad. The coverage now goes to the trophy presentation. For GNN Sports, this is Tom Skibbers signing off.
I lost the damn game. Do I have to watch this crap too? Holo off.
The image and sound of the trophy presentation ceased, replaced by the vital signs of two men sitting side by side in rejuve tanks. Doc Bataugh fluttered about one, a hurrah wearing a silver, gold, and copper backpack fluttered about the other. Quentin thought about turning the presentation ceremony back on, but he let it be. He could barely focus on the coverage. And anyway, he would watch replays of it over and over again as long as he lived. He would have loved to be up on that podium with Becca, but this was her moment.
"You sound grumpy, Pine," Quentin said. "Something got you down?"
"You better stick to football, kid," Pine said. "Your comedy chops ain't that grand."
Quentin laughed, which drove daggers of pain through his shoulder, making him hiss audibly.
"Ha ha," Pine said. "Serves you right."
The pain should have come as no surprise, seeing as Doc Bataugh had the shoulder opened up, flesh held in place by clamps so he could work on Quentin's ravaged clavicle.
"Young Quentin, I'm going to need you to sit still during this procedure."
"Doc, you got me so locked down I can't move a thing."
"Except your mouth, apparently,"
Doc Bataugh said.
"That never stops moving, which, truthfully, will come as no surprise to anyone who knows you."
Pine laughed, and, just like with Quentin, the laugh ended in a sharp hiss of pain. The Jack's team doctor let out an annoyed sigh so long it made Quentin think of Rosalind.
"Ha, ha," Quentin said.
Both men fell silent. Quentin heard the whine of bone saws, the soft sound of clamps pulling at flesh, the tiny whoosh of suction, and the steady beep of his heart monitor. That beep intermingled with Pine's, creating a strange, steady, unified rhythm. Just the two of them down here in the stadium's hospital. Plenty of other injured players during the game, sure, but they were either still up on the field or being treated in the training room. Only Don and Quentin were hurt badly enough that their respective team docs felt the need for immediate surgery. Don Pine and Quentin Barnes, side by side. The old and the new. Although Quentin wasn't really new anymore. That fact was becoming more and more obvious. It was several minutes before Pine broke the silence.
Kid, what you did out there today, it was awesome.
Like any elite athlete, Don Pine hated to lose. The agony of defeat hung on his every word, yet there was also respect in that voice. Respect and admiration.
Thanks, Don, Quentin said.
Don had been away from the Krakens for 2 seasons now. Working day in and day out with a man, Quentin had forgotten what it had been like to be a boy on Mokovi, a boy willing to pay 2 weeks' mining wages for cubes loaded with Jupiter Jack's games. 2 years away from Don, though, away from that easy familiarity, and Quentin remembered all too well. He had watched those games over and over, marveling at how Don Pine made defenses look stupid, how he racked up win after win, how he raised not one, but 2 Galaxy Bowl trophies high. Quentin had idolized Don Pine, and now that man admired Quentin. It was hard to process.
I had you beat, Pine said, his voice barely audible over one of the doctors grinding away at a bone.
Quentin didn't know whose bone it was.
How so?
New Delhi was open. She had Bumba Puff beat. All I needed was another half second, but you, well, even hurt, you're faster than I thought.
If Quentin could have moved his head, he would have nodded. It made sense now. Pine had been in that last instant of focus before releasing the ball, when a quarterback sees nothing but the target.
It's always crazy to me, Pine said, how just a fraction of a second can make the difference between winning and losing. Between me having 3 rings and both of us having 2. Timing, kid. You can prepare your whole life long for something, but sometimes it all comes down to timing.
Timing. Like throwing a rock at just the moment when Stedmore Osborne happened to be passing by. Everything that had happened from that moment to this would have never happened at all. Quentin might still be in the mines if he hadn't died already.
Something else, too, Don said. Was it Uncle Johnny that put you in the game on defense?
Yeah. To be honest, I didn't have any idea what was going on.
John did, Don said. Seeing you out there, on defense, took me out of my head for a second. If it had been anyone else, like Jew or Sood, Becca, whoever, I would have rolled with it. But you? I had this sudden fear you might somehow do what you do and pull off some crazy play to win the game.
Which was, of course, exactly what had happened.
I guess John got it right, Quentin said.
He did. Sometimes, that guy is a lot smarter than he seems.
You don't know the half of it.
They sat quietly a little longer, listening to the sounds of their beating bodies being repaired. When Don spoke again, that agony of defeat was absent from his voice. Another tone there, another emotion. One Quentin had heard during a conversation in the man's apartment while looking at Don's self-portraits. Self-loathing.
Quentin, I'm long past due to man up. When the whole galaxy thought you were a bum, I didn't tell them what a stand-up guy you were. I shoulda. I couldn't. I still can't. I did the wrong thing, but that bought me 2 more years of doing the only thing I know how to do. You had every right to rat me out, but you didn't, which also brought me those 2 years. So I know it doesn't mean anything. I know it's too late. But I'm sorry for what I did to you.
Sorry? What did it matter if Pine was sorry? His cowardice had been rewarded with 2 spectacular seasons, with money and a new round of fame, with playing in front of a crowd that adored him, with 2 trips to the Galaxy Bowl. Pine got all that, and what did Quentin get? He got everything. He also had 2 spectacular seasons, money, fame, playing in front of a crowd that adored him, 2 trips to the Galaxy Bowl, and 2 wins. 2 titles. Quentin had what he'd always wanted and more. He searched his soul for the anger that came with any mention of Don Pine's name and couldn't find it. It was gone. Pine couldn't change the past any more than Quentin could. What was done was done. Pine had apologized. He'd meant it. So did it matter if he said he was sorry? Yes, it mattered. It was just that simple.
"I forgive you," Quentin said.
Don paused.
"You forgive?"
The man sounded as though Quentin had just told him that he actually could go back in time and change the past. Was it so hard for people to believe Quentin could forgive?
"Yeah, you know it is, because that's not something you do." "I'm as surprised as you are," Quentin said. "But, yeah, I forgive you."
Pine said nothing. It was as if he thought he might have to keep apologizing forever and ever, or maybe that he'd say his piece, Quentin would tell him to go shuck himself, and the story would be done, never to be revisited again. But neither thing had happened.
"Thank you," Pine said. "Thank you, Q."
All the animosity toward Pine vanished, just like that. Quentin would never forget, but, surprise, he could forgive.
"Q, that was my last game. I'm done."
Heartbreak in those words, but also finality. It seemed impossible to believe the league would go on next year without Don Pine on a roster. All things come to an end, it seemed, even living legends. Quentin thought of reminding Pine that he had come 1 score away from winning the Galaxy Bowl that night and the year before, but knew it wouldn't make any difference.
"Hell of a run," Quentin said. "You know you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?"
"Yeah, I know. I also know someday that'll mean something. Just not today. How about you, kid?"
"How about me what?"
"Retiring," Pine said. "I'm guessing you don't have a sudden love for the fullback position?"
Quentin most certainly did not. He never wanted to play that spot again. He never wanted to play any spot other than quarterback, but especially not fullback. He had no idea how Becca did it week in and week out.
"Hurt my arm in the bombing," Quentin said. "I'll be back next year."
He wondered if Doc Patel would contradict him, but the hurrah stayed silent, kept working.
"I hope so," Don said. "I do. But I'll tell you what, kid. I'm a first balloter and all that, and I have 2 rings. But you, if you are hurt and you can't win another title, you could retire now and go out on top. 2 straight Galaxy Bowl wins, then you walk off into the sunset."
"I'm not even 25, Don. I got years left."
"Like I said, kid, I hope so. Now, if you don't mind, those ribs you broke and that title of mine you stole have worn me the hell out. Doc Fallery, do me a favor and put me out, will you?"
"With pleasure,"
the Jacks team doctor said.
"Barnes isn't the only one that never seems to shut up."
Seconds later, Pine was out, leaving Quentin alone with his thoughts and the smell of burning flesh. His flesh or Don's? He didn't know. A dagger of pain lanced from his shoulder down to his stomach, through his leg all the way to his big toe.
"Damn it, Doc! What the hell are you using up there, a needle and thread?"
"Do not mock me by comparing my skill to the barbarous practices of your home system, young Quentin. You really should be unconscious for this process."
"Just do your job, Doc."
Quentin breathed deeply, tuning out the pain's echo. Don was right. Quentin could walk away a legend. If the arm was really gone for good, was there any better way to go? Instead, would he rehab all off-season, look for a doctor that could fix him, go under the knife and fight his ass off to get his career back? Or were there more important things than football? He had forgiven Don Pine. Could he do the same with Petra Prawat? So much to consider. So much to process. Overwhelming, really. And waiting one more day to think about it wouldn't hurt anything. He was so tired. And nerve blocks or no, he hurt so damn much.
Doc, let's do it your way. Go ahead and put me under for this, please.
As you wish, young Quentin.
Quentin felt the slide into unconsciousness begin almost immediately. The pain faded. Darkness came, and he welcomed it. Yes, so many decisions to be made, but that was for another time. His team had won the Galaxy Bowl. Hokor would be buried with 2 rings. For now, that was enough.
Well, that wraps up my novel. I worked super hard on this novel. We worked super hard to record this novel for you, to edit it, to put it out in all the different formats. I'm not sure how many different ways you enjoyed it, but we really hope that you enjoyed this podcast. As always, A Real Girl and I feel honored that you spend your precious time with us listening to our stories, and we really, really, really hope that it tickled your fancy and that you enjoyed all the time you spent listening to The Champion. We won't find out what happens to Quentin and company until book 6 of the Galactic Football League series, and we don't know when we will be publishing that novel. If you want to know when it is coming out, do you get our email newsletter? If not, swing over to scottsigler.com. Look on the right-hand side for the 100% beef, 0% spam newsletter sign up and sign up for it. And then, of course, you can follow us at facebook.com/scottsigler. Follow me on Twitter @scottsigler, Instagram @ScottSigler, and even scottsigler.tumblr.com. We're all over the place. We try and let you guys know when all the episodes and all the good things are coming out. But the newsletter, that is the single best way to make sure that you are finding out what products we have and what books are coming up next. Now, I promised you a tiny taste of Alive, our next podcast novel. This will be the first female-read audiobook that we have done. The voice talent is Emma Galvin, who read the Divergent series, so she's a bit of a blue chipper. You know what I'm saying? She is some serious, serious talent. She agreed to do the Alive audiobook for us. It sounds super cool. I know you guys might not be used to her voice right now, but I'm telling you that her voice could not be more perfect for this particular book, and she has done a better job on Alive than I could have done. I want you guys to open up your hearts, open up your ears, and really give her a chance to grow on you so that she becomes immersed in your brain, just like I am, and you can enjoy all of the free Alive audiobook. Will it take some time getting used to? I'm sure it will, but here we go. Give this little snippet a listen and prepare your brains.
I open my eyes to darkness. Total darkness. I hear my own breathing, but nothing else. I lift my head. My forehead clonks against something solid and unmoving. There is a board right in front of my face. No, not a board. A lid.
That was Emma Galvin, a little teaser of her reading of Alive. That's it for this week, junkies. Thank you again. Thank you so much for tuning in every week, for listening to The Champion. We appreciate your time. See you next week for the question and answer, the final, final episode of The Champion. And I'll talk to you all real soon.
You have been listening to The Champion, book 5 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by author Scott Sigler, produced by A. Kovacs, and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.